And then if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, Exodus chapter 2.
Verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dubbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. Colin, if you don't mind, let's get straight to slide number 5, and I want to just share some things with you about the importance of mothers. According to the Barna Group, as they spoke to teens that were following the Lord in their teen years, people who had a relationship with the Lord even though they were teenagers, they were not yet fully grown, 80% said that it was their mother who encourages them to go to church. 62% said they were most likely to talk about the Bible and their faith with their mothers. 53% said it was their mother who teaches them about the Bible, and 75% of them said it is their mother who talks to them about God's forgiveness. That's powerful, isn't it? And this is just a research and asking, okay, tell me about your spiritual life. Who's the person who is pouring into you spiritually? These statistics tell us that mothers and the power of a godly mother is an incredibly important thing in the life of those who follow. I mentioned my grandmother and how I feel like in many ways she changed the whole course of our family and in so many ways and so many lives that have rippled outward from her decision to make God the most important thing in her life. And so I want to talk today about the power of a godly mother. And here's something to learn as we talk about this passage of scripture from Exodus chapter 2, looking at Moses as a baby and how a mother poured into him, even though she only had just a little bit of time. So let's talk about this. The Jewish people, or the Israelites, were growing to be too numerous for the Egyptians to control the people that they had enslaved. They started getting scared. And so they ordered instead that all Jewish babies were to be killed at birth. And Moses was born under this law, but not only is Moses saved, but he's raised in Pharaoh's own house, all to become the man who eventually saves his people and leads them out of their enslavement and into the promised land and to become a nation. God is at work in the middle of a very, very bad situation in every way. And so we're going to talk more about all to become that man who saved his people. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But let me share a little bit with you. If you wouldn't mind me just simply reading, Tony Evans says these words. When Pharaoh's daughter arrived to bathe in the river, she found the basket that the Hebrew baby was inside, and she felt sorry for him. God had intervened on behalf of his people. The boy's sister then offered to find a Hebrew woman to nurse the boy, and it was Pharaoh's daughter who agreed to that. One moment, the baby was under the threat of death. The next moment, his mother was being paid by Pharaoh's daughter to raise him. This is the sovereignty of God at work. And then listen to what he says. This is powerful. God, I find, demonstrates amazing providential care when people operate according to his kingdom agenda. In the remarkable provision of the Lord, all of these women, the midwives, the mother, the sister, even Pharaoh's daughter, were used by God to cover and care for a child whom God would use to bring about his kingdom purposes. Now, here's what I want to share with you. I don't know if you really truly have embraced the role that you have, but I'm going to tell you that you are uniquely positioned. If you are a mother here today, you are uniquely positioned to speak into your children's life, to call out something from your children's life that already exists that God has placed there. And this is your not only privilege, but I feel that it is your responsibility because there are so many kids in this world that do not have mothers that see what you might see in your child, who do not have the confidence to speak up and to call something out in their child and see that God's purposes are done in their life. And so if you are a mother, please never underestimate the power of a godly mother. If you are not yet a mother, please understand that you may have one of your best and most powerful roles when the Lord does bring children into your life, if that is what he chooses for you. It is something that in many ways our world kind of degrades a little bit. No, it's just common. A godly mother is not a common thing. It is a powerful, life-changing, destiny-altering kind of thing when a mother truly looks at her life and says, these are God's entrusted gifts to me, and I will give my very best to them all the days that I possibly can. As long as they will listen, I will speak for God into their lives. If you guys are with me, can y'all give me an amen on that? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm keeping you. All right. Here's my big idea that I want to share with you today, and that is this. Mothers make an eternal impact on their children, so don't ever lose heart. Don't ever lose heart. They make an eternal impact on their children, so don't ever lose heart. Would you guys say that with me on the count of three? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Mothers make an eternal impact on their children, so don't ever lose heart. Amen. Let's go to our next slide. And I'm going to be moving here pretty quick because here's the deal. This is what you thought co-sleeping was going to look like, and then what it's actually like, that's a lot more like it. Can I get an amen from our moms? You know, that's usually what happens is the reason that the child can sleep sideways on the bed across the mom's face like that is because the dad has long ago abandoned that whole mess and is sleeping on the couch voluntarily that evening. Can I get an amen, men? It's like, man, that seems like a you problem, right? I got to tell you, it's so funny. This happened to my daughter when she was down with my beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, wonderful grandson last. She was down here, and I was like, how did you sleep, babe? She was like, I did not sleep at all. Ben was right up here in my face. I woke up with him literally laying across my face. I was like, wow, that just sounds terrible. All right, so this is a perfect example. Mothers. Here's what I want to share with you. This is to make you smile, but it's also to remind you that sometimes the problem with motherhood is not what it is. It's what it's not that you actually expected it to be. I'm going to say that one more time. It may be that motherhood was going to be something wonderful, easy, fantastic, meaningful, powerful, something with a soundtrack playing in the background, you know, like, you know, Sarah McLachlan playing in the background or something great. It's not like that. It's work clothes. It is opportunities that come and go. It is frustration. It is hurt. It is anger. But it is also absolutely molding children, and it can't be done easily. And so if you have expected it to be this easy, wonderful thing, You may be not a person who's dissatisfied with motherhood, but just disillusioned with what you thought it was going to be versus what it actually is. I don't know, I would imagine if I got all of the moms up here, hit them with truth serum, I would probably hear from every one of them, motherhood is probably the hardest thing I've ever done, and it is also the most rewarding at the exact same time. Moms, would y'all agree with that? Amen? And so if that's true, what you and I need to do is to get rid of some of these expectations and hopes and things that really aren't reality, but we get rid of those and we just simply say, listen, there's going to be times where my child, you know, is going to embarrass me so deeply that I can't hardly show my face. There's going to be times where I want my child's neck to fit right here. And when that happens, you just realize that's normal and don't squeeze too hard. But here's what I would say. Ultimately, every little piece of that, even in the midst of that, is bringing about God's plan if you will let it. If you never lose sight of it, God's plan is still being accomplished, but you have to be aware of his moving and his movement in the midst of it and not just simply walk away and say, it's just too frustrating, it's too aggravating, I hate this stuff. You probably don't hate all of it. You probably hate a little bit of it. You probably get frustrated with a whole other percentage of it, but ultimately it is the most powerful thing that you will do, most of you, most powerful thing that you will do with your life. It is the way that you can change the world. And by the way, fathers, this ain't a mom thing. This is a you thing and a me thing as well. This is the most important role that I will ever have, is the role of father. The most important role that I will ever have is the role that I play in my children's lives. I want my daughters to grow up looking at their earthly father and seeing the heavenly father in the midst of it. That's what I want. So it is true for men as well as women. This is not a sexist thing. All right, I'll do the sexist thing plenty, but don't give me one that I didn't actually earn. Let's go to our next meme that I, when my kid trips over the toy, I ask him pick up 1,000 times. You want to be better, but sometimes you're not. But you know what? We get it. We're okay with it. You don't have to be perfect. And here's what I want to share with you, and I hope that this encourages you the way that I just genuinely want it to. Don't miss this. You're doing better than you think you are, moms. You're making a bigger impact than you think you're making. I think this is where we lose ourselves, moms. This is where we lose ourselves because we don't see something happening that we thought we would already see. That we thought that there would be evidence of what we were pouring into our child, that we thought we'd get a little bit more positive feedback, that we would see something changing, but it's not, at least not on the timetable that we want. This is when I like start singing Waymaker, you know, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working because you never stop working. Never stop working. And I just want to tell you, moms, today on Mother's Day, this is what I genuinely believe. You're doing better than you think you are, and you're making a bigger impact than you think you're making. Don't stop, and don't lose the steam on what's most important in your life. Let's keep going as we move forward. This is so powerful. Maybe you don't remember anything else, but this is so incredibly powerful. There's no way to be a perfect mother, and there's a million ways to be a good one. For you, if you are shooting for perfection, you will wake up with a baby draped across your face, right? You will laugh when your child steps on a toy and trips over that toy, and you'll be like, oh, I'm not the mother that I should be. I'm not the angel. Look, quit trying to be an angel. Quit trying to be a perfect mama. If instead of being a perfect mom, you'll just shoot for being a good one, there are ways every single day that you will have that you can be a good mom. And here's what's beautiful, that God will take your goodness as a mother, and he will multiply it. My mom and dad have told me, as I've gotten older, probably they started talking about this about 10 years ago, and they told me, they said, you kids, you've made us look better than we were. And I've kind of struggled with that a little bit, because I feel like my parents were heroic in the way that they put us first. But here's what I know. My oldest, who sang today, great job, Miss Tori, thank you so much. My oldest is 29, my next is 28, my next is 24. And I have started telling them, you make me and your mom look better than we were. That is not just a testimony to their goodness, but that is a testimony, most importantly, to the goodness of God, who takes every small effort and multiplies it, who takes 5 loaves and 2 small fish and feeds the 5,000 with it, who takes a life that's lived with all of its messiness and frustration and back and forth of what you hope for, but what real life demands of you. And in the midst of it all, you realize that God was at work in the midst of it all. And from start to finish, God was at work. And if we will just remain faithful, God will be infinitely, multiple times over, faithful to multiply your good for His will and His greatness. And that will be done if you do not lose heart. Moms, you're doing a better job than you think you are. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. You can make an eternal impact. There's no way I can finish everything that I wanted to share, but I want to just share with you, I think what I want to do, if you don't mind, is I want to just go to our next slide. I'm going to hit these very quickly if you guys will allow me. Let's talk about how you can be the best mom you can be. Not the perfect mom, but the best mom. First of all, you got to be willing to share. In other words, you've got to realize that they are God's child first, and He is using you as an instrument of His grace. He is using you as an instrument of His grace. And I love this quote. I've shared it 1,000 times, it feels like. This is from Paul David Tripp, and he says these words, "If your eyes ever see or your ears ever hear the sin, weakness, and failure of your children, it's never an accident, and it's never a hassle. It's always grace. Because God has put them in a family of faith so you can be a tool of His rescue and transformation." Mothers, you have a position where you can change a child's life, outlook, and mindset if you will be faithful in the moments that you have. Whenever these things get revealed to you, you can make incredible impact. But here's the problem. You will not see it because most of the time it feels like they did something wrong, said something wrong, acted in a way that was wrong. And you feel like what I've got to do is I've got to elbow in here and I've got to punish them and all that. I'm not here to tell you about parenting strategies, but here's what I am going to say. Here's what I want you to see when that happens, that God is revealing something to you while they're still under your roof. While you can still speak into their life so their hearts are still soft enough to hear God's words coming out of your mouth to change their destiny and change their direction. And you may not feel like you've won that battle, and you may not win that battle, but please, you only lose the war if you give up. Like, there's no way to win the war if you give up. So here's what I would say. Anytime it feels like frustration, anytime it feels like you want to say the words, "I've been over this 1,000 times with you. Why are we still talking about this? Why are we still dealing with this?" This should come to your mind. It's God's grace revealing that that battle and that victory hasn't yet been won. There's more yet to be done in your child's development and transformation. Are you guys with me? Can I get an amen on that? All right, so let's move on quickly. I said I was going to move quickly, and then I camped out a little bit. Let's keep moving, though. Let's go to our next slide. As we go forward, we once again revisit, and I'm going to tell you that ultimately we are going to see this again in the life of Moses. We'll go back and we'll fold it back. Let's go to our next slide, and this is the second thing. You be willing to share God's child because they were His first. You secondly are intentional. You give clear expectations and instructions. Give both the what and the why. And I love this whenever Miriam is there, and she says, she's watching and looking to see what's going to happen to that basket that has her little baby brother in it. And as she watches, she's watching and watching, and then Pharaoh's daughter comes and gets the basket, and she's like playing with the baby. And she says, "This is one of the Hebrew babies." And so she rushes over there, and she says, Would you like for me to get one of the Hebrew ladies to take care of this baby for you? Now, let me ask you this. Does that sound like a mom idea or a daughter idea to y'all? It sounds like a mom idea to me. It sounds like a mom got a hold of her daughter on the arm and said, here's what you're going to do. When I put him in the water, you're going to watch every moment that he's walking in or floating in that water. And then you're going to walk over there and talk to the lady. I mean, just the whole thing. The whole what? And then you give her the why. Because if you don't, we may never see your little baby brother again. You give him the what, and you give him the why. And here's why you give him the why. Because ultimately, you are not going to be around to tell them the what anymore. And when you can't make decisions for them, I hope and pray that you have told them enough why you want them to make each decision and what the criteria is for making good, godly decisions. So when they leave, their life doesn't spin out of control because you've already been pouring into them from the beginning. So it's the what and the why. Okay, so you got to be intentional. Let's go to our next slide here. You know what? This is the passage of scripture that I want you to go back and look at. We don't have time for it today. So let's keep moving here to being that best mom. You've got to be persistent. Your works and your words are truly making a lasting impact. Now, here is what I want to share with you. Let's go to our next slide. And as we do, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away, nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him into the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. Here's what's amazing. The man who was asked to be the best person that he could possibly be, this man who is going to be a person who showed the image of Christ, this man named Moses, who later the Jewish rabbis and priests asked Jesus, are you greater than Moses? Expecting him to clearly say, no way, I could never live up to Moses. That incredible man was raised in the house of Pharaoh, because he had so much to learn, because he was going to be literally the founder of a brand new nation called Israel. And it was all things that he had to learn that he could not learn in the house that his mother and father lived in, but he could learn it in Pharaoh's house. But here is what is so incredible about it. Let's go to this next slide. In Hebrews chapter 11, you will see something called the Hall of Faith, or you could also call it the Faith Hall of Fame. And it goes through and it talks about, by faith, Cain and Abel, by faith, Noah, by faith, on and on and on, by faith, Abraham left the country so God would show him a new place. But here's what it says about our guy Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Stop. This is like being called the most powerful son of any person in the world at that time. And he said, I want to walk away from that, and I want to be identified with this nation that does not even yet exist. How in the world does that get done? He chose instead to be mistreated with the people of God instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasure of sin. Let's keep going in Hebrews chapter 11. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking towards the what? Reward. He knew there was more than he could see. How did he learn this in Pharaoh's court? I don't believe he did. I don't believe that Moses didn't leave his mother's house until he was late, but I know that whatever she did for the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years that she had to pour into him, it made a huge impact. Because you don't choose to walk away from being called Pharaoh's son to go and be a person who is going to lead a nation and going to be on the cusp of being killed at any moment, unless you have a full awareness and full belief in what God has done and is doing in your life. So he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. How do you build a young man or a young woman into a person who is a person of faith even when you're not around? You never stop taking advantage of every single opportunity. Can I just say one other thing? We're going to get to I apply by in just a quick moment, but let me just share this with you. You see things in your kids, moms. You see things in your kids that nobody else sees. You may have even verbalized that. People don't see it, but I see something in you. And maybe you're speaking to them and talking to them and telling them that you see something in them that others do not yet see. Even when it's not evidenced to anybody else, do not stop. Every child needs somebody to think they're incredible and amazing, because they never get to incredible and amazing if nobody is there saying you can do it. Just never happens. Just never happens. Somewhere along the line, someone who sees more than the world sees, someone who sees a greater faith than anyone else is exhibiting in that child. This is what moms, this is one of your superpowers. You see things before they become the truth. You see things and you call them out. And because of your deep connection with your children, you call them to be the best version of themselves. But if you won't do it, it might not ever get done. So moms, whatever you do, don't give up. I think that the mom's superpower is that God has enabled and poured into so many of us. And at first, it's only the moms that see it. But then as they speak it, it starts to be something that a child might possibly believe and might start pursuing and might start demonstrating. And when it all starts happening, moms, you know what you're going to do. You're going to sit back and say, I knew it all along. I saw it the whole time. And you know what? It won't be just words. It'll be true. But don't give up, even when you can't see it happening immediately. It's so important. So how do you apply this message? Let's apply it this way. Where do you need to double down? Do you need to be willing to share? Do you need to be intentional, or do you need to be persistent? These are the three areas that I talked about today. Where do you need to double down? And then secondly here, just don't quit. Recommit today to keep doing what you're doing, what you're already doing. And yes, you're already doing it well, but just don't stop, because there will be times of dryness between the encouragement, and that's when it will be easiest for you to walk away. Please do not. Moms, we need you, and we need the people that you will help to build, the people that you will call out, and the people that you will pour into to become what God wants them to be in his kingdom. And you're the first ones to see it most often. So thank you, moms, for what you do. Thank you for being faithful. And please, moms, whatever you do, don't give up. I love this video, and I've shared it a few different times. But I hope that you'll check it out and watch this, because it always brings a tear to my eye, because I think so many times, moms, you don't ever feel like you're truly doing what's right. You feel like you're always giving second best and always diverted in your focus. You're doing it well. I just want you to take heart. So let's check it out.
I'm a perfectionist, and so that's hard with kids.
There's definitely days when I have my doubts about my abilities.
Struggle with my temper.
I struggle with, like, how I react with situations.
I wish I knew how to, I guess, just calm myself before speaking to them.
I wish I was better at taking time to sit down and just listen more to my child.
I wish I was more confident and being a mom.
I'm not the most patient person in the world.
Patience is far and away probably the biggest struggle.
I just want them to know just how much I love them.
My mom is totally awesome. She's fun to snuggle with. Pretty, funny. She does cook a lot of food for me. She's just unique. That's why I love her so much. We go on dates together. Like, we go shopping. She loves me a lot. I have a lot of favorite things about my mom. We like to watch movies together and color and stuff.
We go to church together. We volunteer together.
She is like my heart, I guess you could say, because she's that close to me.
My favorite thing is to jump on a trampoline with my mom. That's my most favorite thing, to go up high.
We like get ice cream or something and like you go to the nail salon and have fun.
My mommy's my hero. She's pretty and beautiful.
She is my hero.
She just will care about me and just always love me forever.
She's the best.
That's so awesome.
I always seem to focus mostly on the negative, and I guess I can walk out of here and say that I'm doing something great and that my child is viewing me in totally different lenses as I view myself. So that's inspiring.
This is my calling. This is my job. This is what I love to do, and I will do it better and with love each and every day because those kids count on me and they love me for what I'm doing.